Okay, bring in the Gemara Mechasim at Aleph for four lines from the top, we're up to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah that was continuing what the basically Hemshech of the Mishnah and Beis and Beis, which the Mishnah told us that there was Halal and Simcha. So the Mishnah says Halal and Simcha Shmona. It told us, the Mishnah told us that the obligation to say Halal and the mitzvah to rejoice is for all 8 days. Kate said, so how is that going to be the case? Melamed Shechayv Adam. We learn from here that you have to have the mitzvah is to say halal. Also, to have the mitzvah of simcha and rejoice on Yantiv applies on Shemini Atzeres as well. Kishar Kali Mosachag, just like the first 7 days of Sukkot, so too is there going to be the mitzvah of simcha on day 8. Now the Gemara asks, where do I know that there's a mitzvah of simcha on the 8th day? As Rashi points out, we know for sure that it doesn't say it. We know for sure it says Simcha by Sukkot, as it says Dechsev Chag Sukkos Taselach, and right afterwards it's Samachta Bechagecha. So we know Vesamachta Bechagecha to rejoice during the Yom Tov is going on Sukkot, but it never says anywhere explicitly. It never says explicitly that Shemini Atzeres is going to be Chayev in the midst of Simcha. So the Gemara says the Tanur Rabban we learn in Braisa VeHayisa Ach Sameach. So with the reference to Sukkot, it says you should be Ach Sameach. It should be had nothing but Simcha. Ach is a lashon of nothing but simcha. So the Gemara says, so this is l'rabos l'yom tov v'achron. This is coming to include the final night of Yom Tov, meaning Shemini Atzeres, in the mitzvah of simcha. The ach over here is coming to tell us that the obligation to take care of the shlamim is in effect not just the 7 days of Sukkot, but rather this mitzvah of simcha with the basar shlamim is going to be yushechta on the 7th day in order to eat it at Shemini Atzeres is going to apply on Shemini Atzeres as well. That's a fascinating thing over here. The Gemara says always Ach and Virakim are always mutim, and Ach and Rak are always a lashon of a mir. So how over here is it a riboy? That's the shaila. How is it coming to include something that generally Ach and Rak is always used to exclude something? So Rav Moshe asks this question. He quotes that B'Shem the Gra, the Maariv Tzchias brings B'Shem the Gra, that really Enachanami, it's here's also, even the lashon of the Gemara was L'Rabbos, but not really. It's coming to Mema'it that Simcha is still less. The Simcha of Sukkot is done through the Sukkah and the Lulav in addition to the mitzvah of Simcha that exists on Sukkot. So the Ach here is coming to say that there is Simcha, but you don't have the mitzvahs to accompany you with that Simcha. It's just the Shemini Atzeres itself is the reason to have the Simcha. So the Gemara says, oh, eino ela yom tov arishon, but maybe this is coming to include the first night of Sukkot. So if we don't have any pasuk, we would have assumed that the obligation for the Shlamim is going to be is going to be just the 7 days of Sukkot, not the night, because you're not allowed to shecht the korban during the day. So earlier time that you would be able to bring the shlamim is going to be available to you is on the first day of Sukkot. So Baisa therefore is suggesting that maybe that the end of the day, maybe this is coming to teach you that the additional night is going to not include the 8th night, but rather it's telling you the night before that maybe over the night before you were allowed, you had a chiyuv to shecht the korban shlamim before, so that's available to eat it immediately the night before. So the Gemara says, so kishu omer ach chilek, that we're saying ach is mechalek, ach is qualifying and teaching us that the last day is going to be also a zman of simcha. So therefore it's coming to teach you that at the end of the day that this is it has a lashon of ach. It has a l'rabos l'le yom tov, aisa ach sameach, but it has ach eschilek that is coming to be restrictive and tell you that's leaving ambiguous. So what's going to be inclusive and what's going to be, it's going to be restrictive. So the Gemara says, amaris l'rabos l'le yom tov achron. So why, but what you're coming to include the last day of yom tov, the lashon of ach, l'hotzi l'le yom tov arishon, but achilek we're saying is teaching you that they're excluding the first night of Sukkot. So the Gemara says, but so therefore, so why would you do that? Again, the Havamina is, the question is, which night has a simcha? One of them is excluded, one of them is included. So Shemini Atzeres should be excluded, and the first night of Sukkot should be included, or other way around, is that the first night of Sukkot should be included, and that Shemini Atzeres should be included, and the first night should be excluded. So Gemara says, no, because Marban Nilele Yom Tov Achron, I want to include the last night of Yom Tov, Sheyesh Simcha Lefanav, because it has simcha, all the 7 days of simcha of Sukkot right before it, Umatziani Leila Yom Tov Rishon, the first night of Sukkot, Shein Simcha Lefanav doesn't have the rejoicing beforehand, so therefore there's more of a reason to assume that there'd be simcha and Shemini Atzeres for this purpose, as opposed to there would be no obligation, or there would be no havina, at least, that you should include the first night of Sukkot, because there is the time beforehand, it was no simcha, and therefore we prefer assuming Shmini Atzeret should have the simcha, and not necessarily the Zman of the first night, that you don't have to bring the Basar, you don't have to eat the Basar Shlamim on the first night. Now the Mishnah also continues that we had Sukkah Shiva Ketzah, the obligation for Sukkot is for 7 days. How is that? Gamar Melecha Lo Yatir Tzukasa. So when you finish eating on the seventh day, so let's say you finish eating, you want to get ready for Chag, go to Mikvah, whatever, take your Gardu, Da Mincha. So you're already done by 5 o'clock. Shkia is not till 7 o'clock. So the halacha is that you shouldn't, the Mishnah is telling us, that when you're finished eating on the meal on the seventh day, you do not start taking apart your sukkah. Why is that? So the Rashi explains, because, first of all, the mitzvah applies all day. So let's say I want to take a nap, or I want to learn a little bit, or I want to eat something, maybe I get hungry again. I would have a chiyuv to do in the sukkah. If I don't have a sukkah, I'm missing out on the mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, don't take it apart yet. You're not allowed to take it apart. However, you're allowed to. The Lashon of Morid is interesting. Why does it say Morid? The Chora, maybe their sukkahs were on rooftops, so they would bring it down into the house. And the reason for that, for the Mincha and onwards, that was in order you're allowed to do it from usually Mincha, and onwards is usually Mincha Ketana, which is 2.5 hours before the Zman of Shkia. So the reason you're doing that is because you want to, you're allowed to start returning to your house. In order to be mechaved yomtov, if you're honoring the approaching chag by preparing the place you want to eat, so your dishes were in the sukkah, so you're bringing them down to the house. So we see that in addition to showing kavod for Shmini Atzeres, taking the utensils is serving another purpose. That if you don't place the Shmini Atzeres, you have to eat in the sukkah, you're also going to have the problem of baltosif. So by continuing the sukkah an additional day, so by removing the kalim, you'd also be demonstrating that you don't want to eat there because you want to fulfill a mitzvah because you have nowhere else to eat. That's what the Gemara now asks. Ain lo kalim lo reid mouth. The Gemara is assuming that it would be the shayla that we just mentioned, that maybe about Baal Tosif. So therefore the Gemara asks, if you had no kalim to take down from your sukkah, what should you do? If you have, again, we're talking about where you don't have room to eat in your house for a reason. You want to eat outside in the sukkah, or there's no room, and you want to continue eating the sukkah. So how do you show that you're not doing it for the mitzvah just because it's nice to sit outside in huts? It's a very nice weather and you want to sit outside. A lot of people have their shayla. They have mamish beautiful sukkahs. And in America, let's say on Simchas Torah, they want to host people in their sukkah. They don't want to eat. It's very nice out, nice good weather. They don't want to eat inside. They want to eat outside. So the Gemara says, what do you do? Elo kalim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. How are you assuming that the guy doesn't have any kalim, doesn't have any utensils, doesn't have the pots and the pans, whatever he's using? Like yishtamish mayishtamish, then all week long in sukkahs, what was he using? He was preparing his food in what? And on nothing with his hands? So the Gemara says, Ela makam lahorid kalim maus. The Gemara says, no, if you have no place to bring down the kalim, what do? You don't have a place to put them. So the Gemara says, Rav Chia bar, either Rav Ashi or just bar Ashi, Amar, Poches ba arba. So what can you do? You can make a heker in the sukkah to show you that it's going to be puzzle. If you make a heker by, we know that 3 tefachim in the middle of a schach are removed, and the airspace of 3 tefachim is puzzle in the middle of a sukkah. So therefore, it's no longer going to be an appearance of a sukkah, so therefore there's no maris ayin. I forgot to mention that the Chora, based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that you're not going to be chayav in Baal Tosif only if you actually intend to do the mitzvah when you're not chayav in the mitzvah at all. So that's an issue of Baal Tosif. So here you clearly know you're not supposed to be doing the mitzvah, but there's a problem of Maris Ayin. That's what the issue is over here, the Chora Kurz Menor Shonim. But the issue is Maris Ayin. People are going to think that you think that, or they're going to come to the mistaken conclusion that it's still Sukkot. So the Gemara is wondering now, how do I avoid this issue? So the Gemara says that again, if when you make the breach of 4 tefachim, so you've passed the Sukkot. Tosos is bothered by this. But why do I have to do 4 tefachim, Lachora? I should just do 3 tefachim. If I do 3 tefachim, that already passes it. That's what Tosos is wondering. Why don't I do it with 3 tefachim? So in the Daf Pasha, the one's answer is the Ramosha's answer. Ramosha, he says that here you want to another tefach, so it should be minkara even more, it should be known even more that you want to make it pasul. And Rav Moshe is mechamed to the Miri. Miri seems to have given this answer as well, that a 4 tefachim is also the reason for 4, not 3, is to have an extra heker to know, an extra, I don't know how to define heker in English, an extra demonstration that it's pasul. So that's why you do 4 tefachim, and therefore you would pass the schach, and that's what people do. Rabbi Shub and Levi, Mar Madlik is on there. Rabbi Shub and Levi says you light a candle in it, and that's what Asr to do in the small sukkah. That's a shayla. According to Tosfos, the reason that you don't, your Madlik bo is on there was because a chash of that it should be tesarif. So how in the world are you doing that over here? So I was thinking maybe that you're going to be extra careful, I guess. Maybe you're going to watch it. That the whole point was to allow you to use this area to, again, the whole chash is that it's going to come to burn down the sukkah, so then it's a chash sakana. Then you're obviously shouldn't be allowed to do the Shmini Atzeres either. But maybe the answer is that if you're specifically doing it for the purpose of to make sure that it's a heker, so you're going to be extra careful, I guess, with the fire or the nair that you're using. But I thought that was a little bit of a question. Either way, the Gemara says now, so why do there's two different answers? The Gemara says, well, please, these answers are not disagreeing with one another. Rather, halan, the statement of Rabbi Shimon Levi was said for those who live in Bavel, v'alu, whereas the statement of Rabbi Chaim Rashi was meant for those living in Eretz Yisrael. Dehainu, that those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael, so they have to sit in the sukkah, as we mentioned, that we sit in the sukkah, but you don't make a racha. So you're not allowed to take apart your sukkah because you need it for the next day. So that's a major issue. So what could you do? So therefore you have to make a heker. We're talking about again Shmini Atzeres you're allowed in the sukkah. We're talking about the next day after that for those of the Chutz Laretz. So what do you do? It's Simchas Torah, right? What do you call Simchas Torah? So also the Yom Tov Shmini Atzeres was called later Simchas Torah, but we call Simchas Torah. So what do you want to do if you want to in the sukkah? So avoid the appearance of Bal Tosif. So then it's Aser to take down your sukkah before Yom Tov. So what you can do is you can. You can light the candle. However, in Eretz Yisrael, where they don't need it anymore, because from Mincha Ma'ala, they're not going to be sitting in the sukkah. So then, that means that what you're doing there is then you can take apart your sukkah at that point. So the Gemara says, Hatenaf sukkah ketana. So this answer works well for a small sukkah, because again, we've mentioned that a small sukkah, it's usher to light the candle. However, sukkah gedola ma'ikal meber, but a large sukkah, which there's no isser of lighting a lamp, so then there's going to be no heker that when you light the lamp, that it was demonstrating that it's no longer sukkahs anymore. So how do you avoid that? So the Gemara says, the ma'ayel ba me'ane michla. So talking about after sukkahs, let's say on Simchas Torah. So what do you want to do? Is you should bring in some of the dirty kalim into the sukkah. The Amar Rav, as Rav told us, when the utensils that are dirty, you should take them out of the sukkah after using them. Mani mishtayim metalta and the drinking cups, you're allowed to remain there because they're not dirty. So therefore, that's a heker already. Since it's dirty, you don't usually keep that in the sukkah because it's something that's not covered for the sukkah. Therefore, it's going to be a heker. Some Rishonim want to go so far as understanding that we see from over here that having these dirty dishes not only is a heker because it passes the sukkah mamish. That when you show the lack of zilzal, apparently some reason or another, it's mamish ruining, and maybe it's a problem with Teshuvah and Kedudah. I'm curious why that would be. It's possible, but according to the way the Ritva understood the Rif, he understands that that's what the Gemara is saying over here. It's understandable because the Gemara is saying that this is a heker. Why Shemini Atzeres is different than why Simchas Torah would be different than all the other days when the sukkah was kosher? Because it's now seemingly the sukkah is possible because you brought in the dirty kelim. Other Rishonim Lechora, this is my explanation. Lechora, the other Rishonim will argue that no. That when, at the end of the day, if it's something you don't normally do in the sukkah, it doesn't passel the sukkah, but still something no one does because it covered the sukkah. It's an isser to do mitzvah cover the sukkah. It doesn't passel if you eat in the sukkah. It's still a mitzvah that you sat on the sukkah. You just a zilzal in the mitzvah. So then and that's also still a heker that you something that you shouldn't be doing on the ninth day. And now the fact that you're doing it would show that it's not simcha, that's no longer sukkah, and it's rather simple Torah. Okay, that's an interesting hara. Okay, now we're going to continuing in the process of the nisuch hamayim, the water libations that they would done that accompanied the korban tamid for all of the days of sukkah. So the Mishnah tells us nisuch hamayim ketzed. How would they do the nisuch hamayim? How would they do the water libations? That's what the Simchas Beis HaShoeva was. That's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. That this was a mitzvah we know. There's a lacha l'moshe misinai, and it didn't have any source in Chazor. It's going to be important for the next Mishnah. Mishnah is going to mention that the one of the Sadukim poured it on their feet because they denied the whole thing. So the Mishnah basically is telling us about this service. What did they do? They had someone from the Beis HaMikdash would go down with a golden kli, the golden vessel. It had enough to keep three lugim. Three lugim is that the shear from, and they would go to the waters of the shiluach. The shiluach, we know exactly where it is. Bismanazeh. It's they have a kasher, not kasher, but men go there. They have a men's mikvah that people could go to. Ada Yom Hazeh, there's this maybe source in Chazal. It's like a holy mikvah, but that's where the Kohen Gadol used to go in Erev Yom Kippur. But besides for that, they used to do a lot of the things with the mea shiluach. It's in Ir David. Bismanazeh, we know exactly where it is in Ir David. Higil Asher Mayim, so they would come back from the shiluach. It's about a 10-minute walk from if the upper part of the shiluach from the Beis Hamikdash. So then they would come to the water gate. The water gate was the southern gate to the Beis HaMikdash. It was called Shar HaMayim because of this Mishnah that they would carry the water through Nisach HaMayim. That's where I got the name from, this Shar HaMayim. So that they got to the water gate. Taku v'areo taku. They would sound the tekiah, true on tekiah. And the guards mentioned because we're going to learn this out from Moshav Tamayim Masasan. When you draw the water, you should rejoice. It makes it extra simcha. And the pasuk in Be'alosha says, right, v'yom simchaschem b'madechem, that it was kasem b'chatzoshos, that the chatzoshos apparently is part of the process of the simcha that a person has, and simchas yamim tovim and moadim. Allah bekevesh upon the smul. That's a chiddush. That you would go up the ramp. Usually we're mention that you always want to turn to the right. Here, because you want to go to the other side, the southern side of the Mizbech, if turned to the left, he would be at the southwestern corner of the Mizbech. That's where the Nisach HaMayim was done, so you would turn left. Normally you turn to the right, but here, his next chapter, you turn to the left. Shnei Sfalim Shal Kesef Hayusham. And there were two silver bowls there on the southwestern corner of the Mizbech, where the Nisach HaMayim was poured into one of these bowls, and the wine would be poured into the other one. So the Gemara, so the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Shel Sidai, Rabbi Yehuda says that these bowls are actually made of plaster. That he argues, and he also made of plaster, Lel Shema Shuchar, and their surfaces became darkened, from the wine, giving them a silver-like appearance. So that's what happened over here. So that's what, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was going on. And the Mishnah now continues to describe that these bowls had a opening in them, and they're turning on to the next time. Now, kimin shnei chod mendakin, that resembling a person's nose, like they have two nostrils in your nose. So these two had also these two holes in it, that each bowl had a hole in it for both the nisuch hamayim and the yayin, for the water and the wine, and they were poured in each of these bowls simultaneously, and they wanted them to come out at the same time. One of the holes was a little bit thicker, and one was thinner, as I mentioned in the Mishnah. Because again, we just mentioned that we want them to come out at the same time. The wine was poured into the bowl in the wider hole, as I mentioned. The water was in the thinner hole because the wine needs more time to go down. So it's thicker. So the Gemara mentioned that. Marvel shel mayim, mizrachel shel yayin. The bowl on the west was for the water. The bowl on the east was for the wine. The both bowls were at the southwestern corner. And the Gemara is telling you now which one was more westward and which one was more eastward. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Ira shel mayim." And the Mishnah continues rather, "Ira shel mayim l'toch shel yayin." If you accidentally poured from the vessel you were using with water to the vessel to the bowl for the wine, shel yayin l'toch mayim, or vice versa, from the wine into the water, so still, but the evidence you're going to be yotze. It's not the best way to do it because you should do it in the correct spout that you're putting in, the correct hole. However, if you did it b'dievet in the wrong one, that's going to be okay. That's how the Rashi understands it. Ram disagrees, but we'll go with the Rashi's pshat. And the Gemara and the Mishnah continues. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bilog Ayam Nasech Kol Shmona. Rabbi Yehuda, as I mentioned on yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with 2 points of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Tanakhama that he holds the amount of water was one lug as opposed to three. And additional, he also says Bilog Ayam Nasech Kol Shmona. He says that you did it for all 8 days, even on Shmini Atzeres. We mentioned this yesterday, discussing the mitzvahs of Shmini Atzeres. So this, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they would continue the nisuch. He was on the 8th day as well. So they used to tell the person, the Kohen, who would pour the Nisuch HaMayim, they used to tell him to raise his hands high while pouring it, so that they should see that he's pouring it into the correct hole. Why was this necessary? For one time a Kohen poured the water, it was a Tzeduki. As mentioned, the Tzeduki is denied Torah Shabbal Peh. This halacha was a Torah Shabbal Peh halacha, that we do the Nisuch HaMayim, so he denied the whole thing, so he once poured it onto his feet, not onto, because he denied the whole service, he denied the whole concept of Nisuch HaMayim. Or so people got so upset, they took their esrogs and they threw it at the guy, and it was led to a whole balagan, and that's what happened over there. So therefore, to avoid that every time thinking someone is a tzeduki, so they established you should lift your hands very high so everybody could see you pouring it into the holes in on the side of his back. Now the Gemara says, it's just like the water libation was done during the weekday. So we said it was Shiva, meaning even if it fell on Shabbos, when one of the days is automatically going to fall on Shabbos, so then they would do the same thing on Shabbos. What was the only difference though? El Hashayim, Mimalim Erev Shabbos Chavet Shel Zav, Sheinu Mekudesh Mishloach. The Shiloach we mentioned is not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's a 10-minute walk down to Ir David. That's where they would go to get the water. So they didn't do that on Shabbos because that's carrying. They'd be carrying from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, it'd be an issue of carrying. So therefore, they were not able to do it on Shabbos. Rather, they would fill it with a Chavit Shel Zav She'ena Mekudesh Mishulach that was not consecrated. And they would bring it on Erev Shabbos. Why does it matter if the dafka was not in a mikudeshes? You didn't want it to be hekdesh kli, because if it was a kli sharis, we're going to discuss this more at length. But just the bekitzer, you should know what the Mishnah is talking about. Because if it was a kli sharis to put the water in, so then it would be kedusha saguf, and anything that's kedusha saguf is going to be pasul belina. That if you leave it overnight, then it's going to be pasul. So we didn't want it to have kedusha saguf yet. So therefore, they would bring it. on Friday and not bring it in a kli that's kedusha seguf. Umanicha balishka, and you leave it in the chamber to be used the next day. They put the golden barrel in the mizbeach in the base of Migdash chamber where it would remain until Shabbos morning. On Shabbos morning, the Kohen would pour the water from the barrel into the golden kli that was used for the Nisuch HaMayim. Then he would continue as he did it on the weekdays. So now what happened if Nishbecha or Nizgala, if the water spilled or became uncovered? So we're stuck now. You can't go Mimala the water. It's not going to allow you to violate Shabbos to go carry to do this. So what would they do? Mimala mina kior. So they would fill the golden one from the kior, which was in the Mizbeach. Shayayin v'mayim megulin psulin and gav Mizbeach. Because if you have uncovered wine and water, that's going to be puzzle for usage on the Mizbeach. Because we're going to mention where there's a problem of the chashash of the eris of the snake putting his venom in it. So and that's going to be by all potential bismanazem. I am a gulam. That's a whole shaila that doesn't apply. But that's where we learn that the psul from. So now the Gemara discusses where is the concept of blowing the chatzotzos, the trumpets. Where do we get that from? In the middle, why would you blow the trumpets at this time? Then where's the Amar of Eina? The Amar Kra Ushaftim Mayim Bisasum. The pasuk says you draw water while rejoicing. So we see from here Mayna Yeshua. So therefore, it's sounding like we're learning out that Ushaftim Mayim Bisasum. When you draw out the water with rejoicing, in Mayna Yeshua. So then that's teaching us that the Tekiah true and Tekiah, which should be sounded in connection with the drawing of the water. That's what's expressed by rejoicing over here. So therefore, the trumpets are going to be a time of simcha, as we mentioned. V'yom simchas chumadech, as the Pashan Baraloscha tells us. And it continues now. Hanu trei mine. There was two heretics. We don't know exactly what they didn't believe in, but they didn't believe in something. They didn't believe in Bashiach. They didn't believe in the Torah. What we don't know exactly. Chachmei Sasson, Chachmei Simcha. One of the name of Sasson was named Simcha. Amrlei Sasson la Simcha. Sasson said to Simcha, Ana Adifa Mina. So Sasson Simcha Yasiga. So we see the Marsha just explained this whole thing is that Be'etzem, we see that the meaning would a lot of times try to use Psukim and try to what's the word? They try to manipulate and completely. Rewrite what the Torah really, really means, and give explanations that are heretical. So then, where it says, "So simcha," so also it shows that they don't really know Tanakh anyway. So what did he say? I'm even it says simcha yasigu. It says sason in this pasuk, rejoicing before the gladness that I'm ahead of you. Amrlei simcha lesason. So simcha respond back to sason. Ana adifa minach tefsiv simcha v'sason layudim. So no, I'm better because it says that the Jews had simcha first and then sason, so I'm better than you because the pasuk comes first. Amar le sason la simcha, so sason back to simcha. Hadiyom eshavku veshavchei pravanka dechsev ki besimcha. They say one day Shemayim is going to take you of your status and going to make you. Instead, it's going to make you. Rashi points out what is this lashon of a shavecha pravanka. Rashi says it's going to make you like a guard to go ahead and scout out the areas, different areas. So the pasuk says because simcha, you're going to go out. So that you're going to go out and check everything, make sure, and then scout out the land and spy everything and then check things. Amalei simcha l'sason and simcha l'bat l'sason. Chad yome shavku malu b'maya dechtu shatamayim b'sason. On day, the Shemayim is going to take you of your status. We're going to draw water as written, and then you're going to draw water from sason. And that's what the pasuk tells you, and that's what it means over here. So this is just a fascinating thing, seemingly, I don't say irrelevant, but something that's very hard to understand. So you should know that al pi Kabbalah, there's a lot written about Kabbalistically what exactly this means. The Rus spoke about it. Others explain very Kabbalistically what exactly was this Shak Levitai, what was the back and forth between Sasson and Simcha, what is the deeper Kavanah for us to learn from the different Lashonos of Sasson and Simcha. So there's a lot here. It's a very, very deep, Shak Levitai in the Gemara now. And the Gemara continues, Amar Lei Hahum Minam. They call Yisrael, you're going to take water from me. It says that you're going to take water. He denied, he was saying this rhetorically. He's like, he didn't believe in anyway in the Olam Haba and the Chiasa Mesim. So he said, you're going to draw water from Sasson. So he's again, he was making fun of them with this pasuk. Amar Leis, Rabbi Abba responded to them, Yaviksiv, Lisasson, Kitaka Amars. As the pasuk said, you should draw water from Sasson. You know, I would agree with you. Ashtachsiv, Bisasson. But it says, Bisasson. With Sasson, Mashkeh do Garva Meshvina Leguda Malayan Be Maya. So it means that the skin of that person, Bisasson, literally with your body, is going to be made into a Guda. It's going to be made, and we're going to use it for drawing the water. We're going to use your skin instead of you. So the Marsha explains over here also that the Min, the heretic, was mocking Tchias Amesim. So he says that even what you believe in, so the water drawers are going to be for my benefit. Rabbi Bar responded by saying to him, you are not going to be zocha to be there. So because you're right, you're not zocha l'olam haba. However, your skin and your corpse is going to be there. And that's where he's responding to him, like in kind, he's responding kind of back to him, that you're not going to be zocha into olam haba. Now, the Mishnah says, Allah bekevach banal smola, you went up and turned to the left. The Marzitana, banal kol olam is be'af, olam derech amin. As I mentioned, Rashi quotes, Kolpino shatapone shili derechemin. He's in the Gemara in Zvachim, and we learn it out from the pasuk. Maleo panas kadim shatil bo tifni lemizrach. When you maleo, so panim kadim, they should go to the. You should generally turn to the right. So the Gemara says, "Makivin ordin derech small." Generally, they would go around, and they would go around till, and they would go down the left side. So that's what the Kohen used to do. This is based on what Rapona was mentioned. So that's why you would go there. So the Gemara says, "So chuzmina ola shlosh tvar malal." So these are going to be there's three exceptions to this rule. Sholin derech small v'chuzmina ala ekev. They would go up to the left, and after doing it, they would go the way you come. You don't have to go around the other opposite way. So what are these three things? Eloi nisach amayin, the water libations of chayin, and the wine libations of ola sa'of bishar, kisharavsa b'mizbech, the bird offering of the ola. These three exceptions were made because each of these things might have been affected badly by the smoke of the mizbech. If you go around, all the way around, and from the right, it's much longer. It's going to be walking like 100 amos, and the mizbech was full of fire and smoke. So if you brought these things through that smoke and fire, it might ruin it. So therefore, this exception was made that you can go to the left for these things, but everything else, you would not for. You would not go. And generally, the olas ha'of was on the other side of the mizbech. When it would get too full, they would be allow you to be bringing it on, making a left and going on that side of the mizbech. Now the Mishnah continues, Elu Shayu Mashchirin. Rabbi Yehuda says that these bowls, Ela Shayu Mashchirin, that these bowls were actually made of plaster, but they became darkened from the wine. So where's the Mishnah? 49 Mashchirs. I understand that the bowl was designated for wine became darkened. Demaya, my Mashchir, but the water that was designated for water, why was Rabbi Yehuda assuming that it became darkened? Lechora, it's just water, so clean it out every time. So where it says, Kevan Damar Mar, because we learn in the Mishnah, that why it says Eirashalmayim Lasoch Shalayin. You poured the vessel of water into the bowl for wine with Shalayin Lasoch Shalayim. Or if you've poured the wine into the bowl of water, so we see that B'diavad you're yotze B'diavad. If you've already done it, you shouldn't do lechachila. But if you did it accidentally, it's going to be okay. So Shalayim Asil Ashchure. The bowl designated for water could also become darkened because since you know b'diavad what happened, so and people weren't as careful. Once they know it's not okay b'diavad, they wouldn't try to be careful. But if they actually did it, it would happen once in a while. So therefore, and that's how it would happen. Even if you poured it a few times wine, that's what it eventually it would change its color. It would get darkened. And now the Mishnah also says menukvan kamin shnei chotmim. They would have little holes. They would poke two holes in this area, and then they would come out and looking like it would look like shnei chotmim, like two nostrils. So the Gemara, and one was thick and one was thinner. So the Gemara says lema masnisin Rabbi Yehuda yiv lo rabbanan. Should we say our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and not the rabbanan? That's not because what do we learn in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda omer belug emanasech kol shmona. Rabbi Yehuda says they would do it all days in a lug, and we know that the wine was three lugin, so therefore it makes sense that the wine should be a bigger hole so that it should come out at the same time. Because if it's according to the Rabbanan, why should, if they're both three lugin, both the wine and the water that you're pouring into these two holes, these two spouts, are going to be three lugin, so then why should one hole be bigger than the other? So where's the Rabbanan? The Mishnah is going to follow even the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan are going to fit the Mishnah because Chamra Samech Maya Kalash, we know that water will pour out much quicker. Wine is much thinner, and therefore water will flow much quicker than the wine, and therefore we have to make the wine hole bigger in order that it should drain out at the same time. So Gemara says, "Hachin ami starbe." Not only that, this actually seems to go well logically with the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yehuda, because if the Mishnah was following Rabbi Yehuda with the Lashonos and saying thicker and thinner, that's not the right terms that should exist. They're rather rachav v'katzer. It's Rabbi Yehuda's Lashon with the holes. He uses life of being wider and narrower. Those terms are going to make the difference. It's not as the Brisa teaches. Rabbi Yehuda mer shnei kashvos hayusham. That there was two kelim there on the top of this mech, echad shel mayim, one was designated for the water, echad shel yain pi'a rachav, the opening of the kli for wine was wider, shel mayim pi'a katzer, whereas the opening for the kli for water was narrower. Kedesh yishnem kalim bevasachas, this was done and able to enable both the mayim and the yain to drain out at the same time, shemaminah, learn from the Mishnah accords with the Rabbanan against Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara continues quoting the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Maravel shel mayim, the bowl in the west was for the water, and the Kohen poured it onto his feet, and they threw the esrogim. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa b'tzeduki echa shenisach agavi ragla. It once happened, a tzeduki poured the water on his feet, ragmu kolam b'esrogim, the people threw all their esrogim at him. B'osayam nifgamai kerzbech. And that day, the horn of his bech was damaged. The horn would be difficult from the esrogim. The mizbech got damaged from the esrogim. So Rashi points out there were stones also. They even threw stones. They brought a fistful of salt, and they covered up the damage to the horn. Lo mipnei shiuch shel avoda, not because this would kasher the avoda and make it kasher. Ela mipnei shelo yireh mizbeach pagum. That shouldn't make the mizbeach look like it's damaged. That's like a shtar. It's like very. It's a chilul. It's a disgrace for it to be incomplete. Rashi says. So therefore, mipnei kavod, they kept it covered, even though it wasn't kosher at this time. For any mizbech that it lacks a ramp, a horn base, or any of this that's being a square shape, puzzle la voda. It's going to be puzzle for the voda. And this also is going to be puzzle. So therefore, that's the problem over here. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudah Omer, Afa Sov. Rabbi Yudah says that also the soviv, the area around, the bottom area, around three sides of mizbech, I think it was. So that area also, that was also ma'akiv. That also, it had to be complete as well. And if it wasn't, that would be a major issue. It'd also be puzzle. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Amar Reb Chana in tomorrow's daf.